Now this morning, our message is taken from the 9th chapter of 2 Samuel. The title of the message is Covenant Mercies. Covenant Mercies. God shows mercy to us because of that covenant of grace made between the Father and the Son way back in eternity. Covenant Mercies. Our God's a covenant God. Covenant God. Now this story of David showing mercy to Mephibosheth, this young cripple, is one of my favorite stories. And it has been for many years. When I was just a young man, 29 years old, when I attended one of the first Bible conferences I attended there at 13th Street Baptist Church, this had been in 1981, 30 years ago, a preacher brought a message from 2 Samuel 9. And I heard that message, and that message gripped my heart. It was a message that I needed to hear. It was a message that I wanted to hear. It was a message that was honoring to the Lord Jesus Christ and glorifying to God, and I have never forgotten it and have determined to tell that same story, how God saves sinners because of that covenant made between the Father and the Son. I came away from that meeting rejoicing in the salvation that's of the Lord. And I trust that we can leave this house today rejoicing anew and again in that mercy that we as believers enjoy from the hand of our sovereign King. Now the Old Testament scriptures were given unto the Lord's people not by accident, just didn't happen, but by direct intervention, by direct inspiration. What you hold in your lap is not the words of men. It's the will and testimony of God Almighty. I believe that. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It says in 2 Peter, "For the prophecy came not at old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by God the Holy Spirit." What you hold in your hand and the book that we preach from each time we come together in God's service, we take His Word and declare unto sinners His truth, His Word. For preaching is simply just repeating what God has already said. It's just one beggar telling another beggar where bread is found in Christ Jesus. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through comfort and hope of the Scriptures might find salvation in Christ Jesus. The Old Testament was given to reveal unto us the way of salvation. The way of salvation in Christ Jesus. It has the same message as the New Testament has. For the Bible has but one message, and that is salvation in no other than the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Now this story of covenant love between David and Jonathan is a glorious picture of God's eternal covenant of grace between the Father and the Son, whereby we experience the mercy of God given unto us today. David showing mercy to this undeserving cripple boy named Mephibosheth. He did so because of that covenant he made with Mephibosheth's father, Jonathan. And it is a beautiful picture of God for Christ's sake. David had mercy on Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake. Even so, God the Father has mercy on us because of Christ. We're taught in Scripture to love one another and to forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. The man who will not forgive is a man who has not been forgiven. Mark it down. Now I have 5 points in our message today. And let me give them to you, then we'll go back and look at each one. 5 things we see. We see the design of mercy. We see the object of mercy. We see the application of mercy. We see the response of mercy. And then we see the results. The results of mercy. What are the results? Remember what David said to Mephibosheth? You're going to sit at my table? as the King's son, not just once, not just twice, continually at my table as the King's son. Now let's look first of all at the design of mercy. The design of mercy. God has an eternal design, an eternal purpose. Look at verse 1 of chapter 9. And David said, now this is a king speaking, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may not cut him off, cut him out, but that I may include him with kindness? And the word kindness, there is mercy. And do it for Jonathan's sake. For Jonathan's sake. David is now enthroned as king over all Israel. The old king, the people's king, was gone. Saul had been slain in a battle. And also, Jonathan, his son, was also killed in the same battle. The old king is gone. The new king reigns in mercy and grace. David, in keeping with his word to his friend Jonathan to show mercy to his family, keeps the word of his oath and makes good on that promise. You remember what Jonathan said to David? If I die, will you promise me that you show mercy to my family? Swear to me you will. David said, I will. David now is making good on his promise. He's making good on that promise. David is determined to show mercy unto Mephibosheth because of the love he has for Jonathan, his friend. Turn back here to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel 18. At first, when David, young David, the shepherd boy, slays the Philistine giant Goliath, well, he impressed a lot of people. He impressed old King Saul, and King Saul adopted him as his son, brought him into his own family until he found out that the hand of God was on David, and then Saul became his enemy. But Saul's son Jonathan and David had a very close relationship. 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. And it came to pass, when he made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, would not let him go no more to his father's house. And Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Now watch this. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. You remember, David didn't have a sword to go out even to fight against that giant Philistine. What did he have? Had that sling. Had a sling. And God, with simple means, killed the giant. With the ordained means. Now here's the gospel for us. David and Jonathan purposed to show mercy unto Mephibosheth before Mephibosheth was born, before Mephibosheth knew anything about it. Mercy was purposed before it was imparted unto Mephibosheth. Now here's the gospel. The Father loveth the Son and has given all things into His hand. The salvation that we enjoy right now is a result of that eternal covenant of grace made between the Father and the Son, which the Father chose a people and gave them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord said, all that the Father hath given to me, they will come to me, and those that come to me, I will never cast them out. The salvation we enjoy right now is because of that eternal covenant made between the Father and the Son, in which He gave the Father, gave the Son a people, made Christ their surety, made Christ their shepherd, made Christ the sacrifice for their sin. The spiritual blessing that we enjoy and receive freely by His grace flow out to us freely and fully because of that covenant of grace. We call that the eternal covenant of grace. They flow out to us how? Freely. We're justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our great God brought again from the dead that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Hebrews 13:20. The blessings of salvation were purposed in that eternal covenant of grace before we knew anything about it. Before we were born, God determined to show mercy upon His covenant people given unto Him. Let me show you that in Scripture. Find 2 Timothy 1:9. 2 Timothy 1:9. God has an eternal purpose whereby He is purposed in that covenant to show mercy to many. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. 2 Timothy 1 9. It's God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. Now watch this. Purpose and grace. His purpose is married to His grace. His grace is married to His purpose. His purpose is an eternal purpose, which was given us in Christ Jesus when we walked an aisle, when we prayed through, when I made my decision for Jesus. That's not what it says there, is it? Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and life and immortality to light through the gospel. Through the gospel. So the blessings of salvation were purposed in that eternal covenant of grace before we knew anything about it. Before we were even born, God from eternity purposed to save the people in Christ Jesus. Our blessed Savior is the surety of the covenant. He honored all the covenant obligations. All the covenant obligations. He honored the law of God for us that we have violated, that we had broken. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He established that covenant righteousness whereby God can be a just God and Savior. And the Lord Jesus Christ put away our sin for us, fulfilled all covenant obligations for us to enable God to be a just God and Savior. To enable God to be just and the justifier of the ungodly. The love God has for the Lord Jesus Christ flows out to us because of all that the Lord Himself, the Lord Christ, Christ crucified, has done for us. You remember this Scripture? God who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? All things freely given. Of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. Well, that's the design of mercy. What's going to happen in time? We see the object of mercy with Jonathan's son named Mephibosheth. Look at verse 2 down through verse 4. There was at the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, That's me. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness, the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto Ziba, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he's in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, down in Lodabar. Lodabar was a place of no pasture. Lodabar was a wilderness. That's where Mephibosheth is. He's down in the house of no bread. Down in the house of no pasture. The house of King Saul had been David's enemies. Saul was determined at one time to kill David. The family of Saul deserved no mercy, did they? But David, a man after God's own heart, was determined to show mercy. Our God is holy. Our God is righteous. But He's also merciful. He also delights to show mercy. I'm going to seek mercy where it's found, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeing He's plenteous in redemption, seeing that He delights to show mercy, based upon that covenant of grace, based upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to seek mercy where it's found, in Christ. Adam's race of fallen rebellious sinners deserve no mercy, do we? God is not indebted to sinners, but He is determined to show mercy on His covenant people. Our God said, I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I'll show mercy to whom I will. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it's God that would show mercy to sinners. You see, the language of the religion of men, the religion that's man-centered, is one of merit. Merit. But the language of true redemption is not merit. You know what it is? Mercy. mercy to the miserable, grace to the guilty, salvation to sinners. He justifies the ungodly. Turn over here to 1 Timothy chapter 1 this time. 1 Timothy. You remember what Saul of Tarsus experienced from the hand of God as he went about persecuting believers? When he ran into the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ saved him because of that covenant promise. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 13. Who was before? This is 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13. Who was before? A blasphemer, a persecutor, one who caused injury. He said, but I obtained mercy. Didn't earn it. I obtained mercy. Although I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief offender. I obtained mercy. You remember the publican prayed, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. Ziba tells David about Jonathan's son, who was crippled and lame on his feet. It says that in the last part of verse 3, back in our text. Yeah, Jonathan has a son. He's not much. David, I don't think he'd be interested in old Mephibosheth. He can't bring anything to your kingdom. He's just an old cripple. He's lame on his feet. This is interesting here. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 4. How did he become lame? 2 Samuel chapter 4. When there was a great battle and King Saul and Jonathan were involved in this battle and both of them were killed. Well, the nursemaid that was watching after Mephibosheth, when she heard the news of the king's family being slain, well, she took up the young lad and started to flee away from the enemy. And when she did, this is what happened. 2 Samuel 4, verse 4. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame on his feet. He was 5 years old. 5 years old. When tidings came out of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. They were killed in battle. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell. He fell. Evidently, they were fleeing maybe on a horse or a mule or something. And he fell. And he became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. He was ruined in a fall. Now, does that sound familiar? Ruined in a fall. That's what happened to us. We were ruined. Ruined in a fall. And that's how we became lame. The word lame, through a fall, not only describes the condition of Mephibosheth, how he became crippled. It is our condition since our fall in Adam. In Adam, all have become crippled, diseased, dead in trespasses and in sin. In Adam, all die. In Adam, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All our faculties were affected by this sinful fall against God. Our mind, our affections, our will, our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Our will is contrary to God's will by nature. And our mind is corrupted with the vile disease of sin. It has affected not only our walking, but our thinking, our going, our attitude, and our conduct. All our faculties were affected by this fall, so much so that the Word of God said, in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. In our flesh there is none righteous, no, not one. We are totally unable to take a step toward God because we're crippled. Matter of fact, we're so ruined in our fallen condition, our will is to run away from God, not toward God. Man's will is in bondage to his nature, and his nature is sinful and fallen in rebellion against God. Notice something else. Ziba gives a report. Yeah, old Jonathan's got a son, but he's not much. He's ruined. He's crippled.
And then Ziba said, the king said, well, where does he live? Where is he now? And Ziba gives a report, well, behold, he's down in the house of Maker, verse 4. Maker's the son of Amiel, and he's down in Lodabar. Notice where Mephibosheth lives here. He lives in the house of Maker. Now, some think that the house of Maker was a house of bondage. Down in the country known as Lodabar. Lodabar was the place of no pasture, no bread. It must have been a rocky place. Not able to bear any crops or grow any food. And here's old Mephibosheth. He's down in the house of a slave, serving a slave with no bread, nothing to eat. He's destitute. He's a beggar. Bankrupt. Vile. And a slave in bondage. That's us, isn't it? That's us by birth and nature. We live and we're born in a house of bondage. In bondage to sin and depravity. Under the curse of the law. Living in a land of Lodibar. No bread. No pasture. No water. Starving from lack of bread from heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ in loving darkness. Loving darkness rather than the light. We kind of like it down there in Lodibar. That's where we are by nature. Dead, without God, without hope, and without Christ. And yet, even hearing, David hearing about where Mephibosheth lives and his condition and that he's a slave, you know, it doesn't discourage David from saying, I want him. He's mine. Bring him to me. Here's the third point. Here's the application and command of mercy. Verse 5. The king said, then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of bondage, out of the land of Lodibar. What's going to happen here? King David commands that Mephibosheth be brought before him. To fetch him, bring him. This word here, fetch, I looked it up. You know what it means? It means to bring. It means to carry him. It means to buy. It means to draw. It simply means go get him. Bring him. Fetch him. He's mine. Now notice this. David doesn't invite Mephibosheth to come. He commands that he be brought before the king. Notice the language in verse 11. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that the Lord the king hath commanded his servant, that's what I'll do. When the king said, go get him and fetch him, it's the command of the king that will be carried out. You see, the scriptures teach where the word of the king is, there's power. What the king commanded was done. It says in Psalm 33, for he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Now here's the picture of the sinner being effectually, irresistibly called to the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, out of covenant love, came and redeemed us from our sin with His own blood, giving His life to deliver us from our ruin, coming to put away our sin by the sacrifice of Himself, and in time, God the Holy Spirit, through the means that God has ordained, calls us out of bondage and death into His marvelous light and life. And that's what we call fetching grace. We see that electing grace, don't we? We see that redeeming grace, don't we? And we see that calling grace. We see that fetching grace. Go get him, he's mine. No man can come unto me except the Father which sent me. Draw him. The Holy Spirit powerfully, irresistibly draws God's covenant people unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and they willingly come. They willingly come. You know why? They're made willing in the day of God's power. Our covenant God is not trying to call sinners to Christ, for He does not try to do anything. He's graciously calling out His covenant people with the gospel, and His sheep will hear that call and they will come to Christ. Come to Christ. He said that in John 10. Remember, we've read that so many times. My sheep hear My voice. I know them. I give unto them eternal life. They hear My voice. I know them. And I give them life, and they will never, no, never perish. Those called, come. Look at our story here. Look at verse 6. 2 Samuel 9, verse 6. What's going to happen now? Is Mephibosheth going to refuse to come? Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come. Oh, he did come, didn't he? Why? Why'd he come? He couldn't come on his own. He was crippled. You know, he couldn't even walk an aisle and make a decision. He was crippled. They brought him to the king. Mephibosheth was brought to the king. And we come to the king by His grace. When Saul, the son of Saul, was come unto David, the king, he fell on his face and did reverence. He worshipped the king. And David said, Mephibosheth. Oh, he knows his sheep by name and he calls them out. Mephibosheth! And he answered and said, Behold thy servant. Will Mephibosheth come? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He came because he was brought. Brought by God. Mephibosheth fell on his face before King David, fully expecting the worst. Being the king's enemy, and David reaches out in mercy unto him. He bowed to David's rule. Look what he says. He says, Behold, I'm your servant. I'm your servant. He bowed to David's kingship. He owned his lordship, didn't he? He said, You're my king. I'm going to serve you. Something else. Look at verse 8. He owned him as his king. Behold, I'm your servant. And then he says this in verse 8, he bowed himself. He got right down on the floor before the king and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon me? Dead dog. I'm a dead dog, David. He owned his condition. Worthless dog. Mephibosheth could not contribute anything to David. He couldn't bring anything to David. Couldn't contribute anything. Now here's a gospel application for us. Those called by the gospel of Christ, they do bow and submit to the lordship of Christ. Believers do highly esteem and reverence our God and our Savior, for holy and reverend is His name. They take their place before Him as a willing servant. Remember Saul of Tarsus before the Lord Jesus Christ when he was broken and put in the dust? He said, Lord, what will you have me to do? Willing servant. Remember Isaiah that year that King Uzziah died? Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And then he said, Woe is me, I'm undone, I'm a man of unclean lips. And then he said, Lord, here am I, send me. God's people are made willing in the day of God's power. They take their place before Him as a willing servant. And they own their true condition too, don't they? They own their true condition. I'm a dog. I'm a dead dog before God Almighty. I can't bring anything unto God. I can't contribute anything before Him. Not at all. Let me show you another picture of this. If you find Luke 18... Luke 18. Remember that woman that came unto the Lord seeking mercy? In Luke 18. Well, Luke 18, verse 13. I've written down the wrong reference here. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He owned his true condition. Like Job, Job owned his true condition. I've heard of thee, Job said, by the hearing of the ear. But now I see thee, wherefore I hate myself. I repent in dust and in ashes. Something else, those brought before the king, they take their place before him as a servant. They own their true condition as a sinner before God, ungodly, and they declare their only hope of salvation is in the Lord's mercies. In the Lord's mercy. Will the sinner be brought to Christ when he's called? Oh, yes. They'll come. We don't need to browbeat people, badger people, and bug people. When God the Holy Spirit calls His people out of darkness unto His marvelous light, they know it. And they'll let others know in time. Something else we see here. Here's the result of covenant mercies. The result of covenant mercies. Verse 7. Look at verse 7 in our text. David said unto him, "Fear not, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table now, all the time, continually, continually." Here's the result of mercy. Look at verse 13 now. "And Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table. And he was lame on both his feet." David restored unto Mephibosheth all that he had lost. You remember it says over here in verse 9, "The king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I'm given unto the master's son, thy master's son, all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house." David restored unto Mephibosheth all that he had lost. David fulfilled every covenant promise unto his friend Jonathan. David took him home, took him in, adopted him into his family, provided for his care, restored unto him all that his father had lost. And now he's sitting at the king's table as one of the king's sons. Now here's the gospel application for us. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we have restored unto us all that Adam lost and much more. Where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. Adam lost the way. Adam lost the truth. Adam lost life, didn't he? The Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am life." Where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. Secondly, in the Lord Jesus Christ and through Him, we've been adopted into the family and made sons of God. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God." Sons of God. Find Galatians chapter 4. Turn there for a moment. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Adopted into the King's family. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. "But when the fullness of time was come," fullness of the time was come, "God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Fathers. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, an heir of God through the Lord Jesus Christ." So in Christ we have restored unto us all that we lost in Adam and much more. In Christ and through Christ we've been adopted into the family and made sons of God. Covenant mercies, covenant love. Thirdly, in Christ we have continual and everlasting blessings. We have an eternal inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away. That's what we have in Christ. The blessings we have in the Lord Jesus are not temporary. Not temporal. What are they? What are they? They're eternal blessings, aren't they? And in Christ, our wounds are covered. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sin. And in Christ, there is no In Christ there is no condemnation to those who are in Him. Now let me show you something in closing. Find 2 Samuel 21. 2 Samuel chapter 21. King Saul mistreated some people down in Gibeah, or the Gibeonites. And he killed a bunch of their people. When David comes to the throne, the Gibeonites, they say unto King David, we don't want the gold and silver of the house of Saul. We want his sons, and we're going to kill them all. Well, who's included in that? Mephibosheth. Look what it says down here in verse 4. The Gibeonites said unto him, this is 2 Samuel 21, verse 4. We will have no silver, no gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, what ye shall say, that I'll do for you. And they answered the king, the man that consumed us, that devised against us, that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us. See what he's asking for? You give us 7 sons of Saul, and we'll hang them unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I'll give you 7 of Saul's sons. Look at the next verse. The king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. He hanged, you read on, they hanged 7 of those sons of Saul. But you know who was spared? Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. My friend, do you see the gospel in that? God has spared us for Christ's sake. We're deserving to be hanged by the neck until dead because we're guilty before God. But thank God, He's pleased to save His covenant people. Thank God for His covenant mercies. David, as he dies upon his deathbed, you remember what he said? His last words recorded in Scripture? God had made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and is sure this is all my hope and all my salvation, although it's not very popular among my family. It's all my hope and all my salvation. Well, Mephibosheth did eat at the king's table continually and was considered a son of God. And those who God saved by His covenant grace, they do eat at the king's table as a king's son continually because of the Lord Jesus Christ.